Hey folks, so I got a special guest here by the name of Stanley Collins. Some of you may have seen him on my feed on Facebook, but I finally have him here for me personally, the first time seeing him in about 6 years. But we're going to go over our best and worst projects of 2018 so far, and these albums, EPs, and mixtapes are in no particular order. So, with that said, let's get started. We'll first start with the worst albums of 2018 so far.
Cool. So, my worst projects. Okay. So, I was going to take a slight angle to it. This combination of, like, overrated and also just, like, not good, right? So, an album that I'm like constantly bombarded with, mainly because I was watching the finals and I heard the music all the time, and it's like you just can't really get away from it. Probably J. Cole's KOD.
Oh,
it's definitely it's so, and this is the reason I'm kind of like playing a bit of a semantics game, like. It's not the worst album. I don't even think it's one of the worst albums this year, but it's definitely overrated, right? And I guess when you call something overrated, there has to be like, it's like a, it has, there has to be a rating for it in general, right? And I think it's generally looked at like a little too favorably, because he kind of like he's a cool guy, right? Like, no. So we don't really like talking bad about like good people, right? And so I think his personality and who he is kind of carries over, which is cool, right? But it did go number one. I'm not sure for how long, but it, you know, it had some like mass appeal. I just don't think it was, I don't really see it. So that's why I would say it's like overrated. Another one for me, that I thought was like just bad, was the August Green album, which is it's like the Common, Kareem Riggins, Robert Glasper kind of
wow
band. So okay, here's the thing, I love Robert Glasper, and when we get to the best list, you'll also hear me mention his name as well. I like him a lot. And I don't think he was necessarily the problem, but I have a bit of Common fatigue. I just, Common's cool and all, like, good guy, but, like, his voice is kind of, like, annoying to me now.
Wow.
And I think overall the album, it was kind of, like, I think the idea of that group together had like a lot of potential, but like it didn't really pan out. And like knowing what like individually they're all capable of, I was surprised that I was like so disappointed with it. Yeah, and I guess yeah, that's that. I mean, I'm not gonna belabor the point. I like them individually, and. Like, really love Robert Glasper, but that project just, like, wasn't it.
Wow.
But
yeah, I didn't get a chance to listen to it just yet. The only song that I heard was their song Optimistic, and I love that song. Just, Brandy's awesome on that song.
Yeah.
And Common, I found him to be at one of his lyrical peaks in a while, because Black America Again, I was incredibly disappointed in it, just because it was a whole lot of subject matter to fill within the title Black America Again. That encapsulates a lot, and he just didn't fulfill that. And as for Robert Glasper, I certainly agree that he is well received as a whole, and same with Kareem Riggins. So I'll have to listen to it myself to get a maybe the same perspective, or maybe just maybe a different perspective.
Yeah, and you know, I think Common's interesting, right? Because I think sometimes he can like conceptually like bite off more than he can chew, or like not really bite the right things. Like he has this, they have this song called like Black Kennedys, right? And it's really interesting because it's like you mentioned, yeah, like this Black America again. Conceptually, like these are interesting things, right? But then you think like what does it mean to be a Black Kennedy? Like what is it? Like what does that really mean, right? To try to like mimic this family, that was like the head of like American superpower, like all these things. Like what does that really mean, right? And I didn't really feel more settled after listening to it, right? And I get like he's trying to go after this, like, you know, we don't have royal families in America, but like the Kennedys might be like the closest thing to a royal family.
I mean, I would think that if he were to look at the likes of, I don't know, Haile Selassie or any other families within, not necessarily America, but Nigeria or Ghana,
mm-hmm.
then maybe there would be some appreciation for Black Kennedys, but for it to be Black Kennedys, it might seem disappointing for Common, of all people, to name it Black Kennedys when it should just be someone that is of black, not someone that is the Kennedys or like the Kennedys.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I would have liked to have seen that or step.
Fela Kuti. Yeah. Another one that comes to mind.
Yeah, like make that step. Like, there are a lot of black families that you can talk about and not rely on, like, the Kennedys, you know? I mean, that's cool, let them have their thing, but, like, why? I don't know. This is just confusing and, like, mind-numbing.
Okay. And the last one.
Yeah, okay, so I'm gonna do a collective. It's not any one particular album. But it's more of, I guess, maybe like an indictment of like where we are at musically in 2018. And what I mean by that is this idea of music being like really sanitized and mass produced. And so it's really kind of an indictment of like pop music and like what has come to be known as like mumble rap. I'm like kind of throwing it all in the bucket.
Okay.
So yeah, nothing in particular, but like if we turn on the radio right now and we turn to a quote unquote hip hop station and whatever is playing, that's probably it. And I'm probably not too much of a fan of it.
Oh, I take it you don't listen to Power 99 then?
Not much, no.
Okay.
Yeah, so. But historically, I do like Power 99, just kind of not the moment we're in right now.
Gotcha. So that's the third one, third and final one?
Yeah. Okay. All of pop music.
That's fair. So I'm going to go into my top three worst projects of 2018 so far, in no particular order. My first one is Tory Lanez with Memories Don't Die.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at Metacritic, it is one of the worst of 2018, and there's good reason for it. It's because it's formulaic. He's a formulaic R&B rapper, singer, who pretty much is a carbon copy of Drake, Big Sean, and Rich the Kid, almost any SoundCloud rapper that you can think of. I mean, whenever I was listening to each track, it just seemed like someone else was better off having that track than Tory Lanez himself. And when I saw that there was one track that was that had three or four songs in one and just copied off of them, it was incredibly disappointing to see that he would stoop to this level. Considered his first album, I may have not liked it as much, but I Told You was pretty thematic. Granted, there were too many skits, but I liked his singles. And some of the other songs, some of the hidden other tracks were pretty decent, but this one right here, good gosh, it like even the features are bad. With exception of one, 50 Cent's feature, I thought that his was probably the best, but I think Wiz Khalifa's was bad. Fabulous's was just, nah. But Tory Lanez, man, I think one of the verses was taken from a freestyle that Don Q did on Hot 97. I think there was another verse, or maybe this was a freestyle that he did on Hot, that Tory Lanez himself did on Hot 97, that showed that he copied off of Cassidy. That's just plain disrespectful. So, my second one is 6ix9ine with Day 6ix9ine. By now, you've probably seen this rainbow-looking rat. His album, even though it's short, the beats are way clunky. They're massively over, it's just massively over produced. Wasn't thinking of, the mixing was just bad on it. And 6ix9ine himself is just a one-dimensional rapper. If you hear one track, you've heard them all. There's only 10 tracks on it. I was waiting for it to end by track 3. The features on there, they had A Boogie with the Hoodie, Fetty Wap. They're just okay. I wasn't really impressed though. Tory Lanez, what was on it? At least there was some separation of at least I got to hear another voice besides 6ix9ine. 6ix9ine probably reminds me of Lil Jon. More than anybody, but it's not like he's convincing enough when every verse sounds the same from him. Whether he's telling you that he got the blicky with the sticky, or maybe I'm saying it backwards, I don't know. But his mixtape was so awful, and I'd hate to even wonder what his next project is gonna be like. And I'm okay with mumble rap to an extent, but I'm not okay with someone that is incredibly one-dimensional and doesn't have a personality outside of that one-dimensional personality. Number 3. This goes to Rich the Kid in his album The World Is Yours. Rich the Kid, his album, he had a lot of features on it, but the beats were pretty formulaic, and every feature on there was practically better. Even Future was better than him. And I never thought I'd see the day where I looked forward to a Future verse. Migos was better. Kendrick Lamar, even though I found his verse on New Freezer to be underwhelming, he was better. Even though it's probably not hard to outshine Rich the Kid when you're Kendrick Lamar. Rick Ross had a better verse. Only one that was probably more annoying than Rich the Kid was Lil Uzi Vert and Chris Brown. Good gosh, don't even get me into that song with Chris Brown. That was so annoying. But other than that, that is all of my worst projects of 2018. So with that said, we're going to go into our best projects of 2018.
Great. Real quick, though, I'm just wondering, because I don't think we've talked about it. Where does Ye have the potential to be in that bottom list for you?
Believe it or not, no.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. Ye was pretty decent.
Okay.
I think I'll just leave it at that. Maybe, yeah. Maybe save my take on the Ye album for another time.
Sure. Fair enough. So best albums in no particular order. All right, so man, it's crazy because June has been like something big every week. And I almost feel like I just want to leave placeholders. But so far, okay. I really liked this guy, Kamal Williams, his album, The Return. He is...
three albums. Three instead of five.
Yeah. Musician out of London, jazz artist. He put together like a really, really quality album, I thought. In a lot of ways, it's reminiscent of some of Herbie Hancock's work, but it was just refreshing to hear him and his sound on this project. Thought it was really good. I think like really high replay value too. And I think from, you know, just my listening to it thus far, I'm kind of like every time I go back, I'm like, oh, I'm hearing something different or something that I like or start to really appreciate. Who else? Saba's album, Care For Me. I thought front to back it was like a really phenomenal album. And so it's kind of cool hearing the album because when he went on tour following his first album, debut album, Bucket List, he went on tour, and while he was on tour, one of his cousins was like fatally stabbed, and he died essentially like while Saba was on tour for his album. And I actually got to see him during that tour, and I think his cousin may have died like just a few days before his show in Philly. You could tell it was like really weighing on him. And so going from that to actually hearing his album, hearing him kind of like work through a lot of those emotions, I thought was really, really powerful. And like, you know, just talk about like dealing with grief and depression and just, you know, like sadness, and like also now kind of like a bit of newfound fame and like people kind of like starting to maybe treat him differently because of his status and all those kind of things. I thought that was something that was like really, really good. The music and production is great. You can really hear him like growing with his sound. So yeah, conceptually is good. Musically is good. Production is good. Yeah, number three. Well, it's not in order, but the third one I'm going to mention. Man, this is tough. So I really like, I hope I'm saying her name right, Kali Uchis, her album Isolation. I mean, it's like, it starts off with kind of like this like really cool, like nice chord progression. It's heavily, you could tell, like influenced by like flamenco music, and so she like really taps into like her Colombian roots, right? But also has like this really, really funky, like deep-rooted kind of like R&B feel. And no surprise, she starts with like Bootsy Collins, right? Like it's like one of the first voices you hear on the album, besides her. I just think it's really good. Like, the production is great. Storytelling's pretty good. I thought the feature with like Tyler the Creator was pretty good. Yeah, it's just, I think it's a really, again, like, refreshing album. And kind of like this musical climate we're in, where like, you know, you could tell she like really put time into like writing the music and, you know, organizing the set, the track list and everything front to back. So yeah, that'd be my three: Kamal Williams, Saba, and Kylie Uchis.
Okay, so my first project that is my best is Raven Lanae's Crush EP. I found that EP to be short and sweet and to the point, where I love the production from Steve Lacy. I thought it had funky melodic grooves all throughout, and it has me looking forward to what her album is going to be like, assuming that's coming out this year or early next year. But I think my favorite track of them all was probably, what was the fourth track? I forget the name of that track, but the chorus goes, "Hair down, feeling all right, got my edges on tight, it's a party tonight."
Mm-hmm.
"Feeling good, yeah, I'm feeling all right." But that just screams of any girls that have any, I can, what's it called?
The Night Song.
The Night Song.
Yep.
I get, that's just a catchy chorus. I can just picture a whole lot of girls just singing to that song. My second project is Caitlin Smith, Starfire. I've waited patiently for her to come out after hearing her EP from 2013 or 2014. She's written songs for Meghan Trainor. I think I just vomited from saying that. And Garth Brooks. But her album Starfire is definitely it's definitely an alternative country album, but it can definitely fit into adult pop music. Except, I mean, it reminded me of adult pop music from the 90s, except this has more grit and texture in it. So, and with, you know, and her songwriting is probably what stood out more than anything. And my third album is from Dave East with P2. He impressed me with this project after being relatively disappointed with the with his Karma mixtape. I get that it was just a mixtape just full of filler. I mean, it was probably just a mixtape full of filler that was a bunch of leftovers. But with P2, I think he really dug into his childhood and his growing up. I mean, and his teenagers as well, in terms of how he developed as a rapper or how he developed in the drug game. I found that, you know, that the beats were pretty dynamic, and he gives you a lot different flavors at the same time. So that's all three of them. Thank you very much for your time. Anything else you want to say, Stan?
Nah, thanks for having me. You know, it's been cool. First time seeing each other in 6 years, so it's always good catching up. Yeah, hope to be back at some point, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, this won't be the last time we have this. All right, later, y'all.